Unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome. You are listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show on Thanksgiving Eve over the airwaves of Mad Dog Sports Radio to send in your voicemail messages as well. If you don't feel like standing on the line and waiting to talk to me directly, you can always go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. Got a jam-packed show coming your way today. I got into it earlier today when I was on television with Paul Feinbaum and Mad Dog Russo, the namesake for this channel, with the ridiculous drivel they were spewing over the airwaves about Lane Kiffin, the coach at Ole Miss, and whether or not he's going to end up at Florida LSU. Some news about Florida's backed out. Essentially, they're no longer in the late Lane Kiffin running per se, so it's really about him staying at Ole Miss or going to LSU. So we'll touch on that a little bit later on in the show. Of course, I'm going to get into some NBA stuff because Luka Doncic put on a show last night. It was against the Los Angeles Clippers, courtesy of 43 points, 13 assists, and 9 rebounds, nearly a triple-double, 24 points in the first quarter, 32 points in the first half. Luka put on the show. Austin Reeves dropped 31 as well. LeBron James in his third game back from the sciatica injury that kept him down for the first 9 to 10 games of the season. He pumped in 25 points. It was the Lakers' fifth consecutive game, and I got to tell y'all something right now. I'm certainly not going to pick anybody against Oklahoma City, particularly at this moment in time, as dominant as they've been in doing so without the play of Jalen Williams. But let me be very, very clear. Lakers could beat anybody else. Lakers could beat anybody else. It wouldn't shock me at all if we found the Los Angeles Lakers in the conference finals. It just wouldn't shock me. It just wouldn't. But we'll get into that as the show progresses later on today. Got to get into some football because on Thanksgiving Eve, we got 3 big games coming up. And, of course, a game on Black Friday. I've never understood why they called it Black Friday, by the way. I'm trying to, what was that about? What was that about? But I'm not going to go there today. What I will say to you is this. You got 3 big games. Two significantly bigger than the third one on Thursday night in some people's eyes anyway. When you got the Green Bay Packers visiting Detroit, you got the Kansas City Chiefs visiting the Dallas Cowboys, and then you've got the Baltimore Ravens going up against the Cincinnati Bengals with Joe Burrow's return after a 9-game absence, okay? And then on Friday, you got the Bears, the Chicago Bears, visiting the Philadelphia Eagles. And so that prompts a lot of discussion because so much of it has playoff indications, and we simply can't ignore that. If you are the Green Bay Packers or the Detroit Lions, you're talking about NFC North, you know, what your positioning is going to be. Do you want to position yourself to win the division crown, or do you want to resign yourself to a potential wild card spot that could ultimately be challenged because it's not a foregone conclusion that you're going to be in and everybody else is going to be out? This is something that you have to worry about if you're the Detroit Lions and you're the Green Bay Packers. And we still sit here thinking about the Green Bay Packers and knowing that the addition of Micah Parsons has definitely upgraded their defense. But there's still questions about Jordan Love. 15 touchdowns, 3 interceptions on the season, a 102 rating, 67.7% completion percentage. You see it right there, even though Goff's numbers are even better in terms of what he's giving you completion-wise, yards-wise, touchdown-wise, and QB and quarterback rating. But when you look at the Green Bay Packers, you know what? Once upon a time, the story was about Jordan Love and whether or not he was going to step up in key, pivotal, big-time moments. Now the question is, are the Dallas Cowboys, and specifically Jerry Jones, going to end up looking better than Green Bay and the Packers if the Dallas Cowboys manage to make the postseason? Man, they managed to run the table and win their final 6 games or 5 of their final 6 games, and they end up making the playoffs, and it's at the expense of the Green Bay Packers. I think Green Bay's making the playoffs. But if you really, really want drama, if you really, really want a headline, could you imagine if the Dallas Cowboys found a way to make the playoffs and then they go up against Green Bay and Micah Parsons in the postseason? Could you imagine that? Bigger one. What if Dallas beat him? Could you imagine how that would make Jerry Jones look? Could you imagine? Just think about that for a second here. That's something to take into consideration. We can't ignore that right now. That's not a far-fetched conclusion. If Dallas runs the table and wins their final 6 games of the season, Dallas is in the playoffs. If they go 5-5-1 over their last six games, they still got a decent chance at making the playoffs. Carolina is ahead of them by basically a half a game. Okay, or one game. I mean, that's what you're looking at right now. And that tie comes in handy because that tie is not a loss. And it could end up working to Dallas' advantage. We can't rule that out. We can't summarily dismiss that. So you have that going on. Okay? We can't ignore that as well. If you're Green Bay, if you're Micah Parsons, you do not want this to be a situation where people are looking at you and they're saying, yo, what's up? Dallas was right not to give you $47, $48 million. You got Kenny Clark. You got two first-round picks. And then Jerry Jones went out and acquired Quinnen Williams from the New York Jets, Logan Wilson from the Bengals. And, by the way, he got Overshown back. All right, Deron Bland is back. You just look at Dallas right now. Their defense does not look the same as it used to look. And you got a quarterback playing like an MVP. Right now, you can literally look at the National Football League and you can legitimately say number one and two in the MVP chase could easily be Matthew Stafford for the Los Angeles Rams, the best team in football right now, and, of course, Dak Prescott. You can literally look at the Dallas Cowboys and say that. Some would throw Sam Darnold in there and how he's looked. Daniel Jones was in there once upon a time until he had a disastrous outing. Remember, Sam Darnold had his disastrous four-interception outing as well. So we got to look at those things and got to say, it's about Dak Prescott. It's about Matthew Stafford. That's what we're looking at. That's what we're noticing. That's what we're paying attention to. That's what we're seeing right now. Okay? It's just that simple. Right now, look at that right now. First in the NFL, passing leaders, Patrick Mahomes at 270 per game. He's not in the MVP chase. Patrick Mahomes has not had a great year. But you got to give credit where credit is due because he's been working around a lot of things going on with the Kansas City Chiefs. And nobody can deny that. That much I will say. The flip side to it, however, is that you got to find yourself wondering about these games and the implication of these games. Dallas has to win, but Kansas City has to win tomorrow too. They're in third place in the AFC West. Denver and the Chargers are ahead of them. Only Steelers or Baltimore Ravens are coming out of the North. But in the South, you got Indy, you got Jacksonville, and you got the Texans on the come up with that ferocious defense. And C.J. Stroud's coming back. In AFC East, you got the New England Patriots, who look like they're going to win that division. And you got the Buffalo Bills. So it's getting very, very interesting. You're the Kansas City Chiefs. You might not be able to afford to lose this game. Right now, you're the 10th seed in the West. The Texans are ahead of you, who you're about to go up against in a week or two. The Steelers are ahead of you for the time being, but we all know the Chiefs are better than the Steelers at this particular moment in time. And then you got the Bills as your 7th seed, with the Jaguars, the Chargers, the Ravens, Colts, Broncos, and Patriots coming up from 6-1. I'm just looking at it right now, and the interesting thing that I'm noticing, think about the quarterbacks that we're talking about right now, right? Got the top four quarterbacks in the National Football League. Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow. All of them got issues. Patrick Mahomes, in a month of November, 1-2, okay? 1-2, and Lord knows what's going on with them right now. Excuse my phone. With everything that's going on with them right now, you got to wonder about them. They're 1-2. They were averaging 29 points a game in October. That's down to 24. He was completing 73% of his passes in October. It's down to 58 in November. He had 10 touchdowns in October. He's only thrown one touchdown in November. His passer rating was 112. It's down to 72. It's dropped 40 points. You look at Lamar Jackson, three straight games throwing fewer than 200 yards. Clearly his toe is not 100% healed. Clearly he's a bit hampered. Not running effectively with the football at all. This is Lamar Jackson we're talking about here. This is Lamar Jackson. Ain't running well with the football. Think about that for a second here. How can anybody just dismiss that? Lamar Jackson, not running well with the football. The greatest runner from the quarterback position we have ever seen is not running well with the football. We know he's not healthy. There's no other reason to explain that. There's no other reason to explain that. So you got that as a reality. That's something that's going on. What about Josh Allen? Josh Allen's turned the ball over 11 times in the last 8 games. The Bills have had 9 turnovers in the last 3 games. Do y'all know that the Bills only committed 8 turnovers the entire year last season? 8 turnovers the entire year last season. 8. And he's got 11 in the last 8 games and 9 in the last 3. I'm talking about collectively, the Bills as a team. That's what we're talking about here. Josh Allen has turned the ball over 11 times in the last 8 games. The team has had 9 turnovers in the last 3. He's had 11 turnovers in the last 8. That's not what we expect from our elite quarterbacks, but that's what we're getting right now. Meanwhile, who are the quarterbacks that are ascending? Dak Prescott would be one of them. Matthew Stafford would be another. Drake May would be another. Bo Nix, up and down, up and down. He can play, though, and he can deliver in the fourth quarter, no doubt. What are we going to see from Justin Herbert? It's getting very, very interesting. And so you got that game. You got the Cowboys and the Chiefs. You got the Lions. You got the Packers. And, of course, Lamar Jackson going up against Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow's going to have Jamar Chase. He's not going to have T. Higgins. But, you know, they could play the role of spoiler. They could play the role of spoiler. And we got to see what that's going to materialize into. And then the Bears, we're going to finally find out about the Bears. Because, finally, you're going to be going up against a team. A team that obviously is a team with a running record in the Philadelphia Eagles, because that's not something that the Bears have been beating, and everybody's been taking notice of that. So as we look at the Bears' schedule right here, you had a game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, right, that you just won, 31-28, okay? Outside of that, if you're the Chicago Bears, okay, what are we talking about here? Minnesota didn't have a winning record. The Giants didn't have a winning record. The Bengals didn't have a winning record. The Baltimore Ravens at the time didn't have a winning record, even though the Baltimore Ravens beat the Bears. New Orleans didn't have a winning record. The Washington Commanders didn't have a winning record. The Las Vegas Raiders didn't have a winning record. The Cowboys didn't have a winning record. That's who they beaten. So everybody's been saying about the Chicago Bears, okay, when are you going to start playing some winning teams? We're about to find out over the next 2 weeks, both road games. They're at Philly and they're at Green Bay. And then after Cleveland, they got another game against Green Bay in Chicago. Then they're on the road against San Francisco, and then they're at home against Detroit. So we're going to find out what the Chicago Bears are made of. Because they could lose to any of these teams, even though we don't anticipate they'll lose to the Cleveland Browns in a home game in Chicago on December 14th. But you never know. It's all getting very, very interesting right now. This is the heart of the NFL season where we all paying rapt attention. Caleb Williams, you see those numbers right there, 19 for 35, 239 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, not an interception against the Steelers. The brother can ball. We got to recognize that. I told y'all coming into this season, first game playing under Ben Johnson, that was his third head coach and his fourth offensive coordinator in his first 18 games of his career. So he was put at a decided disadvantage. That is no longer the case because Ben Johnson could coach. Ben Johnson is a coach of the year candidate. Mike Vrabel is probably in the lead to win coach of the year, but Ben Johnson is a coach of the year candidate based on what Chicago is doing right now. 11 games in, week 12 of the NFL season, they are sitting atop the NFC North in position to have one of the top 4 seeds in the playoffs. Got to give credit where credit is due when it comes to that. Absolutely, without question. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call up. This 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM Mad Dog Sports Radio. Let me transition to Lane Kiffin for college football because I got something on my mind that's really – I got to admit, I'm pretty pissed off. You know, on my day job, First Take, ESPN, every weekday morning, 10 a.m. to 12 noon Eastern Standard Time, number one morning sports show for the last 13 years. Thank y'all for the blessings and the support. I'm on the air this morning with Paul Feinbaum and Mad Dog Russo, the namesake for this channel, Mr. Afternoon Drive himself, 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every weekday. And this dude, Doggy, and of course Paul Feinbaum are trying to jump all over me about Lane Kiffin. Let me say this so everybody knows I wasn't being hyperbolic or anything like that. I mean it. They should be ashamed of themselves. What has happened to America? What's happened? So a guy like Lane Kiffin shows up in Oxford, Mississippi 6 years ago and turns around the program. He's got them as a top five nationally ranked team in the playoff picture. Okay? You win the Egg Bowl this week. You win the Egg Bowl this weekend. And the likelihood is that Lane Kiffin, it's guaranteed that they'll be in the playoffs, college football playoffs. And he's going to be in a position to deliver a national championship to Oxford, Mississippi. And everybody is accusing him of being at fault because of the distractions associated with his name. How's it his fault? He came there to coach the team. He didn't know Florida was going to fire their coach. He didn't know LSU was going to fire Brian Kelly. The opportunity presents itself where both programs appeared interested in him until we learned that Florida essentially has backed out over the last 24 hours. Fine. What's wrong with him looking at the job? What's wrong with it? See, here's the thing that drives me crazy. Is this America or not? The man has produced for the university. What am I missing? Somebody help me understand, because I'm not getting it. Lane Kiffin is 54-19 in his sixth season at Mississippi, Ole Miss. He's had double-digit wins in four of the last 5 years. I know they're ranked number seven. I said number five. They're ranked seventh in the nation. I get that. I don't know how they dropped, though. But nevertheless, it is what it is. He's the head coach there. Two programs were interested in talking to him. His wife and family got on a private jet and they went to see Gainesville and they went to see Baton Rouge. Did he go? No. He's coaching his team. He's been to these places before. But he's got a family, and they might want to leave Oxford, Mississippi. Now, I've been on the record saying this. No shade thrown at all. I'm quite sure there's a lot of absolutely God-fearing, wonderful people in Mississippi. Deion Sanders was coaching at Jackson State there before he departed to Boulder, Colorado to take over their program. I get it. But what I've said is this. It's a tribute to Lane Kiffin that he's done the job that he's done there. Fine, I got it. Here's the other side to all of this, ladies and gentlemen. The sport of football is over 60% black in college. It's just a belief, but I don't believe that you're going to see a whole bunch of people clamoring to go to Oxford, Mississippi. Before Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Now, I know it's all in the South and all that stuff, but I'm just telling you, as a black man, when you hear Mississippi, it if you ain't from there, it gets you close to pause. And they've done some great things there, and I'm quite sure they have great people there, and I know a few black folks that rave about Mississippi, Ole Miss. I got it. I got it. But I'm just saying, you ain't clamoring to go to Oxford, Mississippi if you ain't from there. And I think that if you're a Lane Kiffin and you want to position yourself to be the next Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Dabo Swinney, and what he was in Clemson or whatever, I think a program like LSU is more attractive than Ole Miss. Long term, not right now, but long term. That's what I believe. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I got it. It's just a belief. But my point is, what's the harm in looking? Why isn't anybody talking about Ole Miss? The athletic director, Keith Carter, said, quote, an announcement on Coach Kiffin's future is expected the day after the game, after the Egg Bowl or whatever. Okay, here's my point. Who's making it a distraction? Did that man indicate that he may not be interested in coaching this final game of the regular season combined with the college football playoffs? I didn't hear Lane Kiffin say that. If you told the man that no matter what, we want you to coach this team through the playoffs, okay, what's the problem? Everybody acted like, well, you can't just, if you're going to leave, you can't coach the team into the playoffs. Why not? You coached them there. How come you can't finish the job? What is this? Is this a capitalistic society or not? If you deem something to be a better opportunity than the one that you have, it's perfectly within your right to engage in exploration. What's the problem? I couldn't believe Doggy and Feinbaum when they tried to make a big deal out of the blasphemy for them. The blasphemy. For what? Lane Kiffin has done nothing wrong. The man is 54-19 as the head coach of the program. He has performed as head coach for Ole Miss. They're a top 10 team, top 7 team in the nation. They win this Egg Bowl. Guess what? They're going to be in the playoffs. Maybe as even a top 5 squad. They'll be in position to win a national championship. Let the man finish the job this season. Why are we acting like, oh my God, we have to know everything and damn it, he has to make a decision now or else what? And you trying to tell me if you Ole Miss and this man is willing to coach you through the playoffs in pursuit of a national title for a program that he has built to relevance and beyond, you want him out the door before that playoff game just because he decides he might go to LSU? You serious? He can't finish the job? You still benefiting from it? You still benefit from his coaching excellence? You still benefiting from his team's excellence? He's not looking to desert them and walk out the door before a playoff game? What's the problem? What's the problem? Y'all are something else, man. People are something else. And then for Doggy, of all people, you understand, it just sit up there. You know, he got SiriusXM, his own channel. Well, you know what? You was at WFAN for 19 years. He's sitting up there talking about loyalty. What are you talking about? Paul Feinbaum, the mouth of the South. And all of a sudden, oh, the way Lane Kiffin has handled this. What did he do? He didn't fire the coach of Florida. He didn't fire the coach at LSU. He fired him. He didn't create this coaching opening opportunity for himself. They did by making the decision that they made in the middle of the season. Virginia Tech just hired James Franklin. What y'all want? A buyout? Jimbo Fisher, $76 million? Brian Kelly, $54 million? Getting paid not to coach? Lane Kiffin want to coach. And he's doing a hell of a job. But because he's looking at an opportunity beyond this season, it's a crime. What has happened to this country? Good Lord have mercy. What has happened? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with your calls and more in a minute. Don't go away. It's the Stephen A. Smith Show, Mad Dog Radio.